Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.
If you have a Bible with you this morning, go ahead and grab that, get that out. And if you're new to church, maybe this is your first time to church in a long time or your first time to church ever, I want to say, man, I'm especially glad that you're here. And you're one of the reasons we started this new church. And but maybe you're like, I totally left my Bible somewhere, dude, a long time ago. Hey, you can use your phone, tablet, whatever you would like. If you're like, how do you do that? You can download an app. I use one called YouVersion, Y-O-U version. You can follow along today in the scriptures. Man, I'm so excited. And I want to say this too. Man, thank you as a church. One for all that you do, but one for allowing us to be a weird church. Like, thank you for that. And I realize it may not be super awesome to start the year off and say, everybody come to church so we can, interrupt our worship to chat about human trafficking for a little bit. And I realize that may feel a little odd or weird, but I can guarantee you all throughout God's Word in Scripture, we are told to put our faith into action. And when there are injustices happening around us, we as followers of Jesus don't get the right to just hide under a rock and act like they don't happen. Instead, we are called to shine our light and be the light of the world. And you know what light does? It exposes darkness. It just does naturally. And so I realize that may be a heavy topic. And so thank you for allowing us an opportunity to have a candid conversation about it. But I want to encourage you as followers of Jesus, we're not law enforcement, all right? So I don't want you to feel like you have to take matters into your own hands. Please call somebody, all right? Let them do that. But as followers of Jesus, man, let's pray. Let's be aware of what's happening. And let's use that as an opportunity to not just for those who are being rescued out of human trafficking, but those who are engaged in human trafficking, let's use it as an opportunity to share the best news on the planet, that they don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be this way. There is a Savior who gives abundant life and freedom. And so man, that's why we talk about that, all right? It's not just because we're cause-driven or social justice. It is because it is a gospel issue, all right? So thank you guys for letting us do that. Hey, last week we kicked off a new series called Abide. Everyone say Abide. All right, that was very pleasant. You guys were very polite when you said that. Thank you. We're kicking off this new series. Last week, we chatted a little bit, and I'll bring my tree here. I don't know if you guys can tell. This is actually an olive tree that I brought home from Greece last month. No, I'm just kidding. It's straight from Walmart or Target or something. But, man, we talked about how Jesus gives us this illustration, and we're going to dive in as well into God's Word. Actually, go ahead and turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, the Gospel of John. If you get to 1 John, if it has a number in front of it, that's the wrong John. You got to go backwards a little bit. This is the Gospel of John chapter 15. And last week we talked about the first few verses where Jesus says, basically gives us a recap and says, hey, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches and God is the gardener, all right? He's overseeing and in charge of the whole thing. And we talked about that, and Jesus uses that illustration. And I think it's really cool because the context of this in John chapter 15 is that Jesus is on his way to the cross. Like he is on his way to go be crucified. The Father has said it is now time for this to happen. And so Jesus has very limited time left with his disciples. And he knows, like, man, what can I teach them? What do I have left that I need to impart to them, that they need to gain? And I kind of imagine, I don't know this for sure, but Jesus often used parables and analogies and things that just appeared in everyday life. that people were around and saw in everyday life. And he would use those to explain the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And so I kind of foresee maybe they're hanging out at a place, maybe they're even in a garden or passing by a garden. There's some olive trees around, and maybe there's even gardeners tending to the olive trees, or maybe even complaining that they're not getting enough olives from the olive tree. And Jesus says, you know, this reminds me of something. You see that olive tree? I'm the vine of that tree. All right? Everything is flowing through me. You guys are the branches, and God is that gardener over there who's taking care of the tree, right? And so that's kind of what I see, and that catches you up on what we're going to be talking about this week. And so this week, we're going to continue talking about the vine and the branches, but we're going to hone in and specifically talk about the fruit of the branches. Like, how does a branch go about bearing fruit? Now, listen, I want to say off the top, I'm not a gardener. I don't have a green thumb. I didn't feel compelled when we did this series to go study. Like, I felt more compelled to study the Word than I did to go in and become a professional gardener. So some of you have the green thumb. Some of you are great gardeners. Some of, you have jumped on the plant train, and you're like all about these plants and everything, and that's wonderful. You know more than I do about that, all right? I'm not going to get into, I had people come up to me over the last couple of weeks we've done this and say, oh, but you missed this and this, and did you know when you garden, this happens? And I listen, and I'm like, yes, that is wonderful. I did not, that is amazing. Sorry I didn't get to that. I didn't know that, all right? But today, so just know there's a lot of things that may happen. Talk about that in your community group. Today, I want to talk about spiritual fruit. I want to talk about this analogy that Jesus is using and how it relates practically to our lives spiritually. Let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever had the experience where you owned something, but it wasn't working properly? You ever had that experience? No? Yeah, some of you are handymen, all right? And so you're like, no, I never had that. I beat it into submission until it works, all right? And I understand that. I'm more of a call the repairman guy myself, but we recently experienced this with our dishwasher. And now, granted, I want to just say off the top, we are blessed to have a dishwasher. So I know some of you may not have a dishwasher, and hopefully in the next couple of years, our family hopes to go from one dishwasher to four dishwashers. And so we hope to continue growing that. For those of you who don't understand, that would be our current dishwasher and our three children that are there as well. That, like understand that, but the holidays were coming up. Our dishwasher was broken. It wasn't producing what we needed it to produce. And there was this whole, like, it wasn't heating, and it wasn't, drying the dishes, and the water wasn't. So we just simply called a repair person to come. They're like, hey, we fixed it. Took care of it, but you've got another problem. You ever experienced that before? Call a repair guy to fix one thing, and now all of a sudden you have 42 other problems? And we did. We had another problem. No problem. Next week I'll come. We'll take care of it. This sounds great. Comes next week, takes care of it. Run the dishwasher. It's heating. And 5 minutes later, our kitchen floor is like a reenactment of Noah's Ark happening, minus the giraffes. Like, it was just plus a dog. And so it was just everywhere. All right. And so we call back. We're like, hey, he's like, oh, you must have another problem. And so this just continued on and on and on until we finally convinced the warranty company that we were working with through all of this. Hey, you quit wasting your time. Quit wasting our time. We've already had to go through Thanksgiving and Christmas without a dishwasher. Again, I know first world problems, but we have one. And so it's like, if you have a dishwasher, it might as well work, right? And so we go through this process. Finally, we get a new dishwasher. And I just want to tell you, like, I've never been more excited about a home appliance in my life. Like, I used to get excited about fun things like Nintendo Switches and fun things like that. Now, it's all about the appliances, baby. Give me that stainless steel microwave. Let's go. Like, I'm so excited. So anyway, my life is sad. I live a very sad old life. The bottom line is the dishwasher wasn't producing, so it had to go. I watched them carry out the old sad dishwasher out to wherever dishwashers go when they leave. Definitely, that dishwasher definitely not going to heaven. I also realized when we inherited our house, we just bought a house 2 years ago. When we bought that house, we inherited 6 raised garden beds in the back of the house. Now, again, going back to the repair, you know, I'm not a fix everything myself, especially when there's a lot of wires and things like that involved. I'm also not like an extreme gardener. And now, listen, I can, if you want me to go out and water the bushes, I'll water the bushes. You want me to maybe put a couple of seeds down in the dirt and pat it, I can do that. You want me to go out and pick some fruit or vegetables off the vine, like, I'm more than happy to do that for a certain amount of time. Like, we can do that. But when I go to this house and I see where the entire backyard is, like, man, I'm not just committing to buying a house. I'm committing to a homesteading Instagram account is what I'm committing to. Like, this is crazy. And so I just got really overwhelmed. I'm like, I have a hard enough time, like, making sure that my 3 kids are taken care of. And now I'm going to have to take care of 6 garden beds worth of things. And so you remember, I don't know if you've ever heard the story of Job and where he had these friends that were like thorns in his side and kept yapping at him. Well, God gave me Wes, all right? And I didn't say there was a connection. I was just curious about the other thing. And so we're sitting there on my back deck, moving boxes in, and Wes's eyes just get really big. He's like, look at those garden beds. I'm like, I know, they gone, man. They gone. I was like, tomorrow morning, I'm getting up. I'm getting a hammer, sledgehammer. We're getting rid of all this because I don't even have time for this. And plus, I looked at it, and I saw a football field. I saw, like, I can throw the football, like, I can play with my kids. And Wes looks at me, and he, almost physically grabs me, and he says, you can't do that. And I said, well, sure I can, Wes. I just bought the house. Like, it's in my name. I own it. And he says, Brandon, and I'm not one to embellish stories. He looks at me. Are you talking? Okay. So he looks at me, and he says, Brandon, I, Wesley Kinsey, will tend these garden beds. I will come, I will plant seed, I will water seed. He goes, in fact, think of your church, Brandon. The whole church could come. This could be a community garden bed. And I said, Wes, I don't really have the time to put into that. Don't worry, Pastor, I'll do it. Wes, how many times have you been over to tend those garden beds? He just texted me. He's coming over next week. All right, that's fine. That'd be 0 in 2 years. No, I'm not giving your side of the story right now, okay? I forgot I can get texts on this. It's crazy. Okay. The bottom line is, so here's what we did. We got into a thing, and we figure now this year, since we're officially a homeschool family, that kind of also makes us a homesteading family as well. No, it's kind of bad. But so we decided we're going to go all into this. So we've gone. But here's what we did. We got rid of everything. Because the stuff the previous owners had planted, after a year and a half of not being tended to or taken care of, they weren't bearing fruit anymore. Shocker, right? And so we just got rid of everything, and we're starting all over. So if any of you want to come and spend time with the Hembree family, you are welcome to do that. But here's the bottom line. They weren't producing, so they had to go. Now, I don't know if you guys get it or not, but the bottom line is when something's not producing fruit, when it's not acting the way it's created or meant to act, then something is wrong with it. And that's what we're going to talk about today, where Jesus is looking and he's going to say, if you're not bearing a certain type of fruit as the branch, then something is disconnected on the vine. Like, it's not working properly. So here we go, John chapter 15, and we're going to start in verse 7. John chapter 15, starting in verse 7. All right, if you're there, say, I'm there. All right. Now remember, these are the words of Jesus. He says this, if you abide in me, everyone say abide, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. I kind of like the sound of that. Now let's stop right there. We're going to keep going, but there's a couple of things. So if you're taking notes, write this down. To abide in Jesus is to stay in his word. To abide in Jesus is to stay in His Word. And we talked about last week, that word abide literally means to remain. It means to stay. See, the branch did nothing. The branch didn't come from another tree and attach himself to the olive tree. The branch grew out of the vine. Guys, that's how salvation happens. We believe in Jesus. Jesus gives us the growth. Like, Jesus does all the work of salvation for us. It's not like we come to him and say, look at all the fruit that I bear. And he says, oh, I could really use you for my kingdom. Come, attach yourself to this vine. That's not how it works. Instead, Jesus is the one who gives the growth. And so we talked about that. We talked about how that word abide means to remain and stay. And our job in a relationship with God is not to produce and muster up from our own effort. But our job is to stay connected to Jesus. And if we stay connected to Jesus, fruit will grow. It's amazing. And so this is what Jesus promises. He says, if you're going to abide in 2025... then you're going to have to stay in my word. And here's what I love about it, is he says, you'll stay in my word, you'll abide in my word, and he gives a promise. My word will abide in you. Isn't that amazing? Like, think about that. That's not just, you know, a thing, well, you guys better read your Bible. But it's a promise that as we consume the Word of God is making its home inside of our lives. Like, that's incredible. We don't have to do that. That's something Jesus promises for us. So you're going to have, but here's the deal. If you're taking notes, you should probably write this down. It's not on the screen, but you should know it. That in order to abide in Jesus, you're going to have to read your Bibles. It's non-negotiable. Some people say, Brandon, I'm not much of a reader. Great. Get the audio book, all right? Some people say, well, I don't really understand the Bible. Guys, we live in an era of human history that there is now more information and more access to learning God's Word than there ever has been in human history. Here's what else I know. A lot of people come to me and say, Brandon, I just have a hard time remembering it, and I have a hard time understanding it. But here's what's fascinating. I'll sit in a room over Christmas, and somebody will ask a question. What's going on with, this current event? This place had an earthquake? How does that even happen there? And that's an amazing question. I don't know much about earthquakes. I don't know how it could have happened. Like, that is a largely complex scientific question. But within 2 minutes, somebody has Googled it and become an expert on earthquakes. You ever know those people? You can just ask a question, rocket science. How exactly does that work? And within 30 seconds, somebody's going, well, ChatGPT says that rocket science is, and after 5 minutes of discussion, everybody's a rocket scientist. Church, the bottom line is that we've kind of eliminated all the excuses to not be in God's Word. It literally now boils down to this: desire. It's no longer about competency. It's no longer about whether or not you can understand it. It's no longer about whether or not you should read it or listen to it. It's no longer I left my Bible somewhere and can't find it. We don't lose our phones, and there it is. Well, sometimes we do, but there it is right there. And guys, like, we have more access to the Word of God than any other generation has ever had in human history. So the question for us is no longer, how do we read God's Word? The question is, why don't we have a desire to read God's Word? And it goes back to abiding. See, every time we make a decision to do something else other than be in God's Word, we're like a branch who disconnects from the tree and decides it can do better over here. But when we spend time in God's Word, we are like a branch in a tree that literally, and I don't know the science again of how it works, but there is literally sap and nutrients flowing all through trees that are connecting from the vine going into the branches. That don't just keep the branches alive, but allow the branches to bear fruit, to produce more. So if we're going to abide in Jesus, then we're going to have to abide in His Word. Here's what we need to know about that too, is that it says His Word will abide in us, which means not just that we will have more information, listen to me, but we will have more transformation. Followers of Jesus don't read the Bible for more information. We read the Bible for life transformation. Here's number two. If you're taking notes, write this down. To abide in Jesus is to pray. To abide in Jesus is to pray. I love this. Jesus says, if you abide in me, ask whatever you wish. And so here's what happens. When we abide in Jesus and we pray until Jesus aligns our wishes with His will. Because if we're not careful, we'll read this passage and we'll say, great, God's a genie. Ask whatever you wish and it will be granted to you. So you're saying, all I got to do is read my Bible every day this week, and all I got to do is say a few prayers, and I'm going to get whatever I want. No, that is not what God's Word is saying. But what it's saying is that if you abide in Him, as you're praying, Jesus is going to align your wishes with His will. And that is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing because sometimes it's easy to pray for the things that we need. Like if you've reached the end of your rope and you don't know where else to go, you pray, right? Oh God, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. Please provide for us. Oh God, I'm so lonely. I just please give me friends or give me a spouse or a mate. Like we're good at praying for the things we're desperate for. But what about just the ho-hum everyday things that we wish for? You know why we don't pray for them? Because we can do them on our own. And the power of God is not needed. It makes me wonder if so many followers of Jesus today have not built a life for themselves to where God is actually unnecessary in their lives. You get degrees and diplomas and certifications and trainings, so much so that you really don't need God's help in your job. You study so much and you memorize so much information, you really don't need God's help in your classes. Like, you grab the bull by the horns and make everything happen in your family, so you don't really need God's help in your family until things just get really bad. And guys, I think that's the heart of why Jesus said, actually, I want to not just hear your needs, I want to hear your wishes. I want you to depend on me for your needs and your wants. I want you to live a life that is fully dependent on me. Because if not, listen, when we grab the bull by the horns and pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and do everything in our own strength, we settle for lesser things. When we allow God to dictate even the things we think we have control over, we get what God wants. For example, if you're single and you want to be married, are you praying for a spouse? Are you praying for God to prepare you to be a spouse? Or are you just swiping all day? You're just trying to find out, man, where all the churches at that got that young singles ministry? You know what I'm talking about? That's just, that in the 90s, we just called that a dating service. That's all that was. That wasn't no ministry. Well, I guess it could have been a ministry. For example, if you want a new job or a new career, are you seeking God for that? Are you depending on Him for that? Are you just refreshing Indeed every 30 minutes, seeing what's out there? Guys, if we're going to abide in Jesus, we have to pray. All right, let's dive in. Let's keep reading John 15. We're going to be in verse 8. John 15, verse 8. Look in your Bibles with me. If you're there, say, I'm there. John 15:8 says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Man, this is good. Everybody say glory. Nah. See, y'all got to say it like you're at church. You're saying it like you're in your cubicle and you don't want anybody to hear you. Somebody say glory in the house of the Lord.
Glory.
Okay, that was still sad. But it's better. It's better. No, we're going to get there. We're going to get there, all right? Now listen, the word glory, if you're taking notes, write this down. To abide in Jesus is to glorify God. To abide in Jesus is to glorify God. This is why he says, "By this my Father is glorified." Now listen, when you're reading the Bible and you see something that involves God's glory, stop. Stop and underline and highlight and read the verses before and read the verses after and figure this out, because here's what the Bible's saying. He's about to tell you how to bring God glory. Guys, that's the whole purpose of our existence. If I asked you, why are you here today? Why are we starting a new church? What do you want for your life? At some point, you would get around to saying, to glorify God. But what does that actually mean? How do you know if you're glorifying God or not? Well, here's what Jesus is about to tell us. You know that your life brings glory to God if you are bearing fruit. In fact, last week we learned that if branches don't bear fruit, the gardener gets rid of them because they're not producing. They're imposters. They're fakes. In fact, the reason they have to be cut off, like, well, Brandon, why can't we just leave them there? Such a pretty little branch. We can't leave it there because eventually it's going to get in the way of the other branches that are trying to bear fruit. And it's going to become a distraction. And it's going to become an obstacle to the rest of the branches. See, God is willing to prune that which is not bearing fruit in your life so that you have margin and room to bear fruit in the areas he is calling you to do that. So Jesus says, I want you to bear fruit because, everybody say proof. Because it is proof that you're my disciple. It's proof that you are my disciple. The word disciple means that you're a student. Or we would say you're a follower of Jesus. See, a lot of times we look at the word student and we think academic. Like when we hear the word student, we think sitting in a classroom, reading a textbook, listening to a lecture, watching a YouTube podcast or something. Like, that's what we think of with student. But back then in Jesus' day, students did on-the-job training. Students were apprentices. They didn't just sit in a classroom, although there was learning. They literally followed their rabbi everywhere the rabbi went to learn how to live like the rabbi. So when Jesus says, glorify God by bearing fruit so that you can prove to everyone that you are my disciple, means this. When Jesus goes away and you're no longer identified by the one you're physically following, they should be able to look at your life and go, that looks just like Jesus. That's just like being with Jesus. Like, when is the last time somebody came to your house and they left and they were like, man, I bet that's exactly what it was like having dinner with Jesus. When's the last time somebody had coffee with you and said, oh my gosh, that was just like, I got to think that was like what it was like to just sit down and be with Jesus. And guys, that's what it means to bear fruit or to be like Jesus. The bottom line is that this is what it means to be a Christian. Christians are disciples or followers of Jesus that bear fruit. It's not, I'm a Christian, but I wouldn't consider myself a follower. That's not biblical. That's cultural. To be a Christian is to be a follower. They are synonymous. They go together like a hand in a glove. You're not a Christian, but not a disciple. You become a disciple of Jesus. This is why at our church, this is a big deal, and this is why we don't make it a taboo subject to ask questions like, who is discipling you? Who are you discipling? Those are not guilt-ridden questions, and those are not reserved for super Christians. They come from the idea of, if you want to glorify God, then you're going to have to bear fruit, and the way you bear fruit is by following after Jesus as a disciple. And so we ask questions in our community groups. Like, let's go around the room and just ask, who are you discipling right now? And it's not to bring fear or shame or confusion. It is to say, you're following Jesus, so this is like bare minimum. Like, this is what Jesus said when he said, prove that you glorify me by proving. So if we have a discipleship problem, somebody write this down. If we have a discipleship problem in our life, we have a glorifying God problem in our life. And if we have a discipleship problem in our church, we have a glorifying God problem in our church. So this is why asking someone to disciple you or asking to disciple someone else should never be a taboo subject in our church. All right, let's keep rolling. John chapter 15, verse 9. Yeah, we're not going to get too far today, are we? John 15, picking up in verse 9. If you're there, say, I'm there. As the Father has loved me, I love this, so have I loved you. Somebody just say, praise God. So abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you're taking notes, write this down. To abide in Jesus is to stay in his love. To abide in Jesus is to stay in his love. Man, Jesus loves you so much. And you hear that, right? But imagine how much God loves Jesus. That's how much Jesus loves you. And you say, well, Brandon, I'm not exactly keeping all those commandments. Like, you know, I got the thou shalt not murder thing down. At least, Lord, please help us. I got that part down, but there's a couple of other ones. The thou shalt not lie thing, the honor your parents thing, that I'm kind of struggling with a little bit. So does he really love me? The answer is found on a blood-stained cross and an empty tomb. Yes, he really does love you. So much so that he said, I'm not going to wait for Brandon to figure out his sin. I'm coming down and taking the punishment for Brandon's sin. Because I love him. See, everything Jesus did was motivated by love. And so here's what I would say. You can't stay in his love unless you have a relationship with him. Relationship battles with religion. And see, some of us, we've got things that, you know, maybe the way we grew up or just, you know, even apart from God, the way we grew up in families, that we have a hard time thinking about relationship. But to have a relationship with God means that you know him and he knows you. And Jesus says, well, how will we know? Aren't there people walking around saying, I love God, but their life doesn't look like that? How will we know that we really love God? We do what he says. Simple. Hard. Very simple. How do I know I have a relationship with Jesus, Brandon? You do what he says. Not you know what he says. Oh, somebody listen. Not I know what he says. I'm doing what he says. That's how I know I love him. Now, I know for some of us, we go, Brandon, this whole lovey-dovey thing, you know, I like the Jesus that flipped tables. Yeah. Yeah, actually, brother, sister, I don't think you would like that Jesus that flips tables. But you know why Jesus flipped tables? You know why he, at times, showed a little more of a heroic, maybe even masculine way? Do you know why? Because of his great zeal and love for God. Everything Jesus did was motivated by love. So are we doing that with God? Like, think about this. I think about my wife, Ellen. Ellen and I just celebrated last month 13 years of marriage. How, after 13 years, how does my wife know that I love her? She hears it, but you know what else she wants to do? She wants to see it. She likes to hear it. In fact, if I never tell her, and all I do is show her, we start to have communication problems. But if all I ever do is tell her, and I never show her, we start to have all the other problems. And so my wife of 13 years knows that I love her because she hears it and because she sees it. Now, our wedding day was awesome. In fact, we were just going back a couple of weeks ago and looking through all of our wedding pictures, and our kids wanted to see it. It was amazing. It was full of love. It was full of excitement, dreams, hopes, ambitions. But what if we left the honeymoon, got back home, and I went home and I acted like nothing ever happened? I continued to live my life the way I did before we were married. In fact, now all I'm doing is I'm more annoyed because I have a roommate. Like, I want you to imagine for a second, if I just kept living my life like nothing ever happened, that marrying Ellen didn't change my life at all. I still did what I wanted, acted the way I wanted, said what I wanted, hung out with who I wanted, texted who I wanted, acted the way I, like I did all of that the way I wanted. Even though I loved her, and we had a day, and it was awesome, and it was great, but then I just went straight back to the way I'd always lived. You would question whether or not I actually loved her. You would question whether or not that commitment that we made was actually real. And I'd be in really big trouble. But I just wonder, do we do that with God? We walk an aisle, we say a prayer, we hear the music, we get super emotional. Maybe even we have a baptism day and all our friends and family come and we cry and we hug and we cheer and we do all of this, and then all the excitement starts to wear off. Nobody's buying us Bibles anymore. Nobody's giving us high fives anymore. Nobody's giving us microphones or attention anymore. Everything starts to die off. The question is, do you continue to produce fruit in your life, or do you just go back to the way your life was before you knew Christ? Church, to abide in Jesus is to continue to grow. Like, what if the branch was trying to bear fruit without the vine? Like, what if it just said, I don't need this, and backed away from the vine? It's impossible. It's impossible for this to bear fruit without being intimately attached to the vine. It's impossible. Well, guys, it is. You have to have a relationship with God to bear fruit. You have to love Him. And this is exactly why Jesus came. Jesus came because we were all branches that were separated from the vine. All of us. We were all, the Bible says, every one of us were separated and on a path to the dumpster. The Bible uses a place called hell. And this is what separation led us to. And do you know what separated us? Our own pride. That's what separated us. The Bible has a word for that pride called sin. And pride manifests itself in many, many different sins, in many different ways. And we kept doing that, and we were totally separated from God. And God loved you so much. God saw you, noticed you, cared about you, loved you so much that instead of beckoning you and saying, well, you know where to go, so you just go figure it out and go attach yourself back to the vine came to you and left heaven in the form of the person of Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take your punishment for sin, and then rose from the dead 3 days later, so that anybody who believes in Jesus, any lost, separated, sinful branch who just believes that Jesus is alive and gives their life to follow him can now be attached to the vine. And not only are you attached, but now you're going to start to bear fruit. Man, I hope that this good news stirs in us affections for Jesus. Hey, worship team, you guys can come up, but I got one more verse I want to read to us today. You guys got one more verse in you? John 15:11. Let's jump to verse 11. John 15:11 says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." So the last thing I want you to write down today is that to abide in Jesus is to live in fullness of joy. To abide in Jesus is to live in fullness of joy. Now, here's the thing. In a lot of ways, I want to try to explain this away. The reason is because I realize that not all of us experience joy. That sometimes we're in different seasons where we are not feeling joyful. And it's really easy for me to take that verse and explain it away and say, yeah, but fullness of joy doesn't mean that you're always happy, and it doesn't always mean good. Sometimes it means you're in the valley, and you're still kind of know God's with you. But I don't think that's a faithful interpretation to what this verse is saying. Let's read it again. Jesus said, "The whole reason I'm telling you these things is that my joy," you know what that word joy means? Joy. It means joy. "So that my joy may be in you." Not the world's joy, not your joy, but his joy. Did you know Jesus was a joyful person? Did you know he still is? That he's alive? And that one of the marks that he had of his life here on earth was his joy? And he says, "The same joy that I have, if you'll abide in me, I'm giving you that joy." And that your joy, now do you know what this version of joy means? Joy. That your joy may be full. That word full means overflowing. Jesus ain't careful pouring joy into our lives, going, "I don't want to get any on the floor." Jesus says, "Bring your mops, bring your buckets, bring your plow trucks, because we're about to have a floor just ruined by the overflow of joy that I'm going to bring into your life." And I don't want to explain this away. Do you know why? Because I want it. I want joy. I don't want to be told it's okay to just sit by yourself in isolation and be miserable. That's the life of a Christian. No, it's not. No, it's not. Now, this word joy doesn't mean worldly happiness. Because you know what? The Bible also says it was for the joy set before him that Jesus endured the cross. Many of us would not look at the cross and find much to be joyful about. Make no mistake, it's horrific. Because our sin is horrific. But it wasn't the joy of the cross that got him through. It was the joy of what was coming after the cross that got him through. It was the resurrection 3 days later that got him through. It was the freedom of salvation for all nations that got him through. It was knowing that all who believe in him one day will never die, but are going to be resurrected and in the presence of God forevermore, that brought him joy to travel to Calvary to die. So joy doesn't always look like happy-go-lucky circumstances. But it does mean we've got an unusual joy because we know that circumstance does not define our eternity. Church, to abide in Jesus is to have joy. It is not to be miserable or mad. Can I just say with love in my heart that Jesus don't make jerks? That if your religion makes you a jerk and you can't talk about theology without there being some sort of division, that I'm just here to tell you, you're not bearing fruit. You're actually causing fruit to wither on trees. Because the theology of Jesus is one that brings new life. It's one that brings life change and transformation. So I just want to ask you today, how are we to abide in 2025? Well, this is just a recap of what we've talked about today. And usually what I would tell you is pick one. Because this is an exhaustive list that Jesus gave us today of how to bear fruit. But I'm done with that. Let's get all that God has for us. Let's not settle for one. Let's ask God to give it all to us. The fullness of his joy and the experience of his presence daily. Let's get it, church. Let's get after it. And it may not all happen Monday by 2 p.m. But if this time next year we looked back at this list and said, I am in God's word for the first time in my life, his word abides in me. I am praying. I pray about everything. I pray about going to Walmart. I pray. My life glorifies God because everywhere I look, I am making disciples and someone is discipling me, and that glorifies. What if a year from now we said, I am more in love with Jesus Christ now than I was when that crazy preacher got up and yelled at me? What if a year from now we could say, I'm living joyfully. My life is a wreck, but I got the fullness, overflowing joy of Jesus running through me. Because it ain't about this. I'm joyful because of what is to come 17 trillion years from now, where I'm still in his presence. So let's not pick one. Let's get them all. I'm going to take some time and just pray. And there's lots of equipping and resources. But this week in community group, I want you guys to take this list and talk practically about how are you going to get in God's word? How are you going to pray? How are you going to make disciples that glorify God? How are you going to fall more in love with Jesus in a relationship? And how are you going to pursue joy, the joy of Jesus in your life? Okay? Let me pray for us, and then we'll have our response time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. And it's not just our job to abide in you. It is your job to abide in us. Thank you, God, that this is not a one-way relationship, but it is a two-way, where we're abiding in you and you're pouring back into us. So, Jesus, may we be a people who get after it this year, who say the world may fall apart around me, but I ain't living for this world. And Jesus, for every person in this room that may be struggling in their relationship with you, God, I pray right now, just with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to pray right now for the person you say, Brandon, I'm struggling in my relationship with God. I feel like the Lord says maybe there's a sin you have yet to confess or give over to him. Or maybe you've truly never surrendered to God. Or maybe you just need some silent moments of reflection. But if you're here today and you're struggling in your relationship with God, hear the word of the Lord. Jesus wants you. Jesus is not mad at you. And Jesus came to rescue you and bring you back to God.
Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel-centered church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.